You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
It's time for the Steve Young Report on 98.7 ESPN. It's brought to you by Bigelow Tea, FW Webb, and Weill McLean, and Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. He is the Hall of Famer. And he's kind enough to join us here. It's Steve Young on 98.7 ESPN. Steve, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Dan Grosset, Ty Butler, how are you?
Great, Dan. Ty, great. Thanks so much for the wishes. It's been nice to be with the family. Nothing like unplugging for 48 hours. That's the best.
Nothing like it. And it's great when you have football, too, for about 3-4 days straight. You know, we have games on all these days and meaningful games, and nothing could be better here. Let's start with the locals here with the Jets. You just heard, and I'm sure the big news here in New York is Mike White. He has been cleared to return. How much of a lift does this give the Jets now in their pursuit of a playoff spot, given that everything else has fallen into place for them? They just have to win out, and chances are they'll be in.
Well, the locker room loves Mike, and that's a fact, and that'll be a lift. Because they know that there's a fighting chance, there's a fight in there, and I think I have to take a dose of humility here to recognize that I always say if you have a player, and I made this argument before with Zach, that if he can go compete with Mahomes and Allen and Burrow, then we need to develop all the commodity things that he's not doing very well, and the only way to do that is playing. Well, I was wrong. He can't play right now. He's not learning, not getting better. So he has to leave the field. So as he leaves the field, there's a jolt of energy that Mike White has brought from the beginning that comes back into the room. Now, I think that we saw that doesn't necessarily solve everything because we still got beat by some very good teams. But there's football's an emotional game. And I always say Newt Rockne made a speech, and that's how they won is because someone made a speech. Because football's that way. Like, you get emotionally up for a football game to go run into people, that it can make a huge difference. And that's the lift that Mike White has brought really the last couple of months. And so back he is.
I just want to know, because the coach keeps saying that the door isn't closed on Zach Wilson, that his story's not over here. I just wonder, this is the second time he's been benched. This time, he got benched in a game for a practice squad quarterback. And in the single biggest game of the season, which is essentially a playoff game for the Jets, they have more faith in a compromised Mike White than a fully healthy Zach Wilson. How does he find a way to make it back?
The problem, fundamentally, Ty, is that he's not getting better playing. The things that he needs to, the commodity things, the things that he's got to be able to do that are kind of rank and file NFL quarterback stuff is not getting done. And I always say, well, play through it because you're going to get better. So something Zach needs to fix Zach. Like, and there's something that's keeping him from, you know, being able to do the, what I call commodity work of NFL quarterbacking that has to get done. The throws that need to get done, like, just get them done. You should be 10 for 10 on those. And you should be able to, be very efficient and lift it. There's an emotional part of it, too. I think the last game was rough for us to watch because looking into his eyes, you could see that I'm not sure that Zach had the answer or even the thought of how I was going to try to answer this. And so I think the team recognizes the talent, but also recognizes that something's not right. And to get onto the field and not get better each week, because I've always said that's why I say you got to play, because if you're going to be capable of playing in the NFL and being productive, no matter what the odds are, horrible offense, bad offensive line, no weapons, no receiver, you send up a flare. Young players send up flares that tell you he's going to survive, he's going to be okay, he's going to make it. And when those flares are not sent up, that's really about you or me. It's about Zach. Like, he needs to fix that so that he can do the commodity work. The oddity of it all is that he's not – the hardest thing, if you said, what are the best odds for success for Zach Wilson? 4th and 18 or 1st and 10 swing route? And I'm not sure that – which one would you choose?
You're right.
You might choose the 4th and 18.
That's good.
You know, which is insanity, which is like, what are we talking about here? But the odds that he is probably still able to do the hardest things on the field, yet – can't get better at the commodity work is about Zach. And that, I think that's why, Coach, the original question is, why do they keep thinking that the story's not over? Because the things that are wrong are the things that everybody in the league's doing that are not, like, the most difficult things in the world are getting, like, you better than 50-50, he'll get them done. But
yeah,
the stuff that you got to do to play great, good quarterback in the league, manage the game and the throws that you've got to make, are not getting done. And so his mind, something comes into his mind as he flashes to throw that creates some kind of reaction that's not making these easier things than what 4th and 18 that are not getting done. So to me, I don't blame Coach for saying, geez, if we could somehow get the commodity stuff figured out, then we could maybe still make a go of this. But it's certainly not, and that's where he was right and I was wrong. I don't think by playing him that gets better, because it's not anymore.
That's why you heard Robert Saleh say about Mike White that, you know, Mike White makes the easy look easy by comparison there. And look, mm-hmm. you know New York, Steve, right? The intense scrutiny, the pressure, the attention. I mean, that could weigh somebody down, especially if they're not having the success initially like we've seen here with Zach. When, though, do you look at a quarterback in this case and say – a change of scenery will do them good? Because in your situation when you played, you were in Tampa. That was not a very good team. But somewhere in there lied a Hall of Fame quarterback. And that you had to go to San Francisco for that to manifest itself and to be brought out. How do you look at somebody like Zach and say, maybe not the Hall of Fame, but a change of scenery, a new surrounding could do this guy some good,
yeah,
and we could see the talents?
Look, I don't – first of all, just the grass is not always greener. So it's like that – to me, the problem is not necessarily the – look, would I have made different calls on development? Would I think of, you know, that we still go back to the, you know, the terrible tragedy of Greg Knapp being killed the 2 days before training camp, who was going to be the whisperer for him and someone of sage advice and mentorship that never got replaced. So for whatever reason, but in the end, it's not about the Jets. It's not about their development plan. It's not about another team having a better development plan. This is commodity work about quarterbacking. And so that's why when I said in Tampa Bay, when I was there, I sent up flares that people saw that said, you can do this. And I knew that. I felt that. I felt that despite the challenge, I left Tampa with a better player, a better, you know, much better professional, capable of doing way more than I was when I went, you know, 15 months before I got there, you know, the 15 months I was there. It made a huge difference. So despite the fact that I think I was 3-15, I mean, some terrible record, the flares were there. I guess why I give the analogy. And the flares are not there from Zach. And so to me, there's no question that there are fantastic. Look at Baker Mayfield. Like, I don't know what the future is in L.A. I don't know whether. But people that really understand the quarterback position, which, you know, Sean McVay does, which Kyle Shanahan does, what Mike McDaniel does, like Mike LaFleur does, I mean, like Matt LaFleur does, you know, those are places where there's wonderful, it's good stuff. But the answer is not, there's no question there's better places for quarterbacks. That's fine. But you still got to be able to do the commodity work. And he should be, if Zach's going to be a player in the NFL, he has to be able to do what Mike White's doing. Day in and day out, every day. That has to be a part of the job. Because he's not getting it done, he has to leave the field and go figure out how to get it done.
So just to move to the Giants, I watched them on Saturday, and I was very impressed by what they were able to do against right now the second best team in the NFC in the Minnesota Vikings. Meanwhile, I look at Minnesota, they're 12-3 with a point differential of +5. Like, something's just off about a team being 9 games over .500 and having a +5 point differential. If I'm a Giants fan, shouldn't I be rooting for that matchup in the playoffs? Because I think the Giants can beat them.
Yeah, I think the Giants are a high-level relevant team. In other words, the superpower groups that are out there, and most of them in the AFC, by the way, so well, I know what the Cowboys are. I mean, the Cowboys, once a month, it's like rent. Like, once a month, they're all that they can be, and then all of a sudden, they're not. So if they can be all they can, that's going to be tough for the Giants as well, and suppose the Eagles. So, yes, that matchup is a great one because their defense is so poor. And the Viking defense is terrible. That Viking offense seems to be able to do whatever it takes to win. And you can see, I say that every week, the NFL is more like the NBA every week. As the NBA is, you know, everyone hangs around for three quarters, and then the fourth quarter, especially the last couple minutes, they hand the ball to the closer. You know, whether it's James Harden or LeBron in the past, or Steph Curry, or you name them, or John Morant, or, you know, all of a sudden they hand it to these guys, the teams that have them, and then they go close it. And then all of a sudden they're 10-1 where the other teams are 5-6. And so that's what the Giants don't have, and then the Vikings do. So that's why the Vikings, to me, are the most dangerous, a nice matchup. Yes, I think the Giants can take them to the end, but then who's going to close? And it seems like the Vikings have been closing for nine straight, or, you know, I said nine games within 7 points. They've got this closing ability that the NBA and the NFL now kind of most values.
Steve Young joining us here on the Michael Kay Show in his weekly spot, 98.7 ESPN. We'll get to some breaking news here, Steve, because Adam Schefter is reporting, and I guess Mike McDaniel has confirmed it too, that Tua Tagovailoa is now back in the concussion protocol. And we know the Dolphins have hit the skids here a little bit. They've lost four games in a row. Tua had that horrible second half yesterday. He threw three INTs. When you look at how his season has been like a tale of two halves, what if this is indeed the last we've seen him potentially for this year? Because another concussion, I mean, that's scary stuff. What is the book on Tua Tagovailoa a few years into his career as an NFL starting quarterback?
Well, first of all, you have to say to Mike McDaniel that he has a special gift with quarterbacks. Because what we were talking about Tua last year at this time and what we're talking about Tua this year is a completely different player.
Right.
And so that, and it was like, Tua did a lot of that. As I'm asking Zach, well, there's people, you know, you got to go get that work done. That's not, but there's no question that Tua has come a long way. The thing that, you know, if he was concussed the second half and didn't know new, or who knows how you get into that and to try to explain. But it doesn't explain the trouble in San Francisco. It doesn't explain the trouble in LA against the Chargers. Like, there are developments still to be made for Tua. And in some ways, I think Mike McDaniel saw the explosiveness of this offense and then kind of leaned in with Tua and like, Tua, take us as far as everyone else can in the game, Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, like, do that. And I think that it topped out. Now, that could be time. Like, Tua needs a little bit more seasoning to be able to do all of that, or that might be topped out. And that's the question you have to ask right now is, wow, Tua is now a really relevant quarterback in the league, and that extra, those next hurdles that are necessary for him to get over, can he get over them? And I think that more, if I'm Mike McDaniel, if he comes back on the field for the playoffs and they make it, if he can somehow make it simpler right now, what they did for Daniel Jones, like stop, quiet the mind a little bit, don't ask so much, and make sure that he gets his footwork back into that solid, what I saw at the beginning of the season when I watch his feet, they were just amazingly sound and sure. And that meant that his mind was sound and sure. And so that's what you got to get back to. That might mean to pull back a little bit. But this is, you talk about the concussions, having a second one in a season, having the protocol, it's a huge issue.
One of the other biggest stories of today was the firing of Broncos head coach Nathaniel Hackett after that dreadful game yesterday. Well, what do you make of what's going on in Denver?
I have no idea if Nathaniel Hackett can coach or not. Like, the thing that shocks me, and I think it has to shock the world, is Russell Wilson playing for 10 years at an all-pro level, maybe Hall of Fame level, and Super Bowls, and all of it. And in the year of 2022 NFL, which is more wide open, more for mobile quarterbacks, there's more space, there's all of it that's happened over the last 4 or 5 years, all coming to the game of Russell Wilson. The game has come to Russell Wilson. And so, yes, new place, Denver, I know, new offense. But for 16 games, 15 games, you can't find a productive way to get through it, to show us. Again, flares. Where's the flair to let me know that you're an all-pro quarterback just stuck or jammed up or something's amiss? Or, like, I said, there's no flares. It's as if Russell Wilson disappeared. And so, look, Nathaniel Hackett, the coach and the quarterback always take the heat. The coach, the quarterback can't hear because they've signed him. They can't do anything about it. But the coach, anything like this that happens, the coach is going to go down. So he's down. But the next guy that comes in, how are we going to get back? If Russell Wilson comes into a situation over 15 games and can't send up flares, that I'm still me? I don't know. Where the coach, who's going to be the next coach? I don't know. Does it matter? I don't know. Because whatever's happening with Russell Wilson, we got to get fixed fast.
Well, my question to you is this then, because just if you look at the history and the practice of hiring and firing coaches in this league, I saw the stat today that Nathaniel Hackett is now the fifth first-year head coach in NFL history to not even finish out his first season as the head coach. Like, he was fired before the year even ended. But it's happened now twice in consecutive years, Steve, because Urban Meyer, same thing happened with him in Jacksonville. So from a philosophical standpoint of hiring and firing, like, what's happening now in the league to where now something that rarely happens has now happened in consecutive seasons?
I think, you know, what's happening is there's a clarity around Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniel and Matt LaFleur and, you know, Sirianni. Like, everyone's now seeking these quarterback, I hate whispers, stupid, I'm getting sick of it myself.
But gurus? Just,
people who understand the position can get the most out of whoever's there and understand the position as a play caller and a game day, you know, somebody who can innovative minds, and you know you can see it in the look at my Andy Reid. He's the oldest innovative mind. Like, look what he does week to week. Look what Sean Payton did before he kind of semi-retired for a second. Look what those guys are all doing. They're all leading the league. They're all in the top of the league. They're all winning Super Bowls because that's that. And so owners are like, hey, give me one of those guys. Well, what's happening is, you're going to grab guys that are in those kind of systems because that's what Mike McDaniel came out of, 49ers. Like, who's next in the 49ers? Mike McDaniel, let's take him. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, my gosh, he's better than we thought. And then, Green Bay, let's hack it. He's got to grab him. And it's like, maybe not. So it's like grabbing great quarterbacks. Take Zach Wilson or take Mac Jones or take, you know, Trevor Lawrence or, you know, go through the years. Like, you don't know who has the force. I mean, this is my Star Wars reference for the hit here. Someone has to have the force, and you don't know, and they don't know whether they have the force until it's called on and under the rigor of the NFL. And so as a coach, that's why these great defensive or offensive coordinators, oh, they're great. How are they as coach? I don't know. Do they have the force as a head coach? You've seen that fail all the time. But you also see people that thrive in it, and people are like, why? You asked the original question. How do we know? Let's quit hiring guys that can't make it through the season. Let's hire the guys that are going to be innovative and great into the future. Well, let's do the same thing for franchise quarterbacks because I think they're equally as valuable and equally as rare. And I don't know that you're going to know who has the force until they're in the mix. And until further notice, you're going to see owners trying to find who's it. Mike McDaniels, he's 35-year-old. I don't know. I'm guessing how old Mike is. But who's in his staff that's young and innovative and smart? Let's grab him. And you're going to have a 28-year-old next time. Like, he's going to get a shot. And maybe he has the force. I don't know. We'll see.
So, Steve, Saturday night I'm watching Kenny Pickett lead the Steelers on a game-winning drive to beat the Raiders. And I couldn't help but think, is there a world that exists where Mike Tomlin can actually overtake Brian Daboll for Coach of the Year? The Steelers starting 1-4. If they win their final two games against the Ravens, we don't know what Lamar Jackson's status is, but you got the Ravens and the Browns, and he keeps that streak alive of never finishing under 500. They get to 9-8 after a 1-4 start. It could Mike Tomlin get more Coach of the Year consideration for the job he's done this season?
No, because Mike Tomlin comes from a different place. The Pittsburgh Steelers are supposed to be pretty good, or decent, or relevant, right? And so they suddenly slipped into irrelevancy, and then Mike dragged them back to relevancy. Awesome job, amazing. Mike could win Coach of the Year every year, that's fine. But what Brian Daboll did was took a broken system, energized it, created an environment for people to be as good as they can be, named quarterback, offensive line, defense. Like, everyone's is better than you thought. They're as good as they've been. And how did that happen? It came from his innovation. So that to me is the definition of coach of the year, someone who takes something and literally, creatively, something new, something, a revelation. Mike Tomlin's not a revelation. It's amazing. That's not a revelation. Brian Daboll's a revelation.
Let me close out on this one, on that note about coaches, Steve. The guy who won Coach of the Year last year, Mike Vrabel. I mean, they have completely plummeted. They've lost five in a row. Now Tannehill looks like he's out for the year. I mean, so many things have transpired there. The GM getting fired, the offensive coordinator with the DUI. Is that past the point of no return in Tennessee to where maybe they're going to have major house cleaning in the offseason, you think?
You guys, are you setting me up this? Am I being punked? I mean, this is the question I wanted to answer for a while. Like, look at the philosophical, what's the philosophy of the Tennessee Titans? What's the fundamental way that they want to attack the Super Bowl? We're going to attack it with vicious defense, because that's what Mike Vrabel knows. One thing I can coach, viciously great defense. We're going to run the football. Derrick Henry's going to line up in the eye, and we're going to pound you into submission. And then we're going to find a quarterback, hopefully, that around the edges and play action and get something done in the fourth quarter, and we're going to go to the Super Bowl. That's how they've been constructed. I believe that's 2015 or before. That's an almost 10-year-old. It doesn't work anymore. And that's why I keep screwing at the Ravens for the same thing. Like, it doesn't work anymore. You can't
antiquated.
Go the distance. It's thank you. I should have been simple for my brain, but it's got complex all of a sudden. So look, it is old and antiquated, and I appreciate that help, because it's not relevant anymore. And you can use it to beat up the rank and file in the NFL. Having a clear stated purpose and then finding the people to go do it, I think can help you, like the Ravens through the years, have beat up the rank and file. I think that's a great way to relevancy and a playoff berth. I think that's still possible. But what is impossible is that philosophy to actually go 3 or 4 weeks in a row and get to the Super Bowl and win. I just don't think it's possible anymore. And that's why I would tell Mike, you should still try to create a vicious defense. No problem. Do that all day long. What the 49ers are going to do with a vicious defense. Like, it's still relevant. It's still helpful. But you've got to have a quarterback. You got a system. Look around the league, the teams that are going to the Super Bowl, especially in the AFC. If you're going to be in the AFC over the next 10 years, who are you going to have to beat? You might be able to beat Patrick Mahomes once, Josh Allen once, or Joe Burrow once. And I don't know whether Justin Herbert's going to get there or not, but those three, you can beat them once, but you can't beat all three to get to the Super Bowl. Not going to happen. They're going to speed each other up, and one of them's going to go for the next 10 years until further notice.
It's very true. It's the way the NFL right now. Steve, great stuff as always, my friend. Really appreciate a couple of minutes here. Happy holidays, you and the family. Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, same to everybody else. Be safe. Family's great. I hope everybody's healing. You know, it's my family, a chance to speak to my kids from college and things just, I hope it's a phenomenal family time for everybody.
Absolutely. Be well, Steve. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Dan and Ty in for the K Show, 98.7 ESPN. We're going to have ENN coming up at 6 o'clock, an Anthony Pusick vehicle. We look forward to that. Ty, before we get into and rehash some of the things that Steve Young had to say, let's get into a little game time here, which is brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Steve and company will be on Monday Night Football tonight. It closes out Week 16 in Indianapolis. You got the Chargers and the Colts. 8:15 is the kickoff. You're a Jet fan, you're rooting for the Colts because the Chargers losing two AFC games the remainder of the way is like a backhanded way of getting into the playoffs if the first one doesn't fall through with the Patriots losing one more. And, you know, with the Tua news, maybe that's a little bit shady here, but that is something you keep your eye on tonight for that game. And also you got the Nets over on the hardwood. They're going to be in Cleveland tonight to take on the Cavaliers. That is a 7 o'clock tip-off, so a couple of the top teams in the Eastern Conference doing battle. That should be a good one out there in Cleveland. That is game time. It's brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey during the big games this season. Enjoy a Tullamore Dew. It's the original triple-blended, triple-distilled, and triple-cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. So the news that's interesting is what Adam Schefter and company broke while Steve was on with us, and that is Tua Tagovailoa, who is going to be in the concussion protocol. Mike McDaniel, the Dolphin coach, says that he has symptoms. And this is now multiple concussions, plural, for Tua this year. I mean, two that have been officially diagnosed. And wink, wink, we know about that episode where he was stumbling about out there, which kind of led to a whole new shift in the dynamics of how we go about diagnosing these things in the NFL. And it was an ugly eye for the sport there. Let's go out on a limb and assume that Tua is done for the rest of the year. I'm just saying. Or at the very least, he's not playing this week against the New England Patriots in a game that Jet fans are rooting for the Dolphins because the Patriots need to lose one more game. Teddy Bridgewater, you can have faith in him. He's a competent quarterback. He's a guy who's taken a team to the playoffs before. Yes, all those things. However, you know, you don't want to have to go into Week 18 needing the Buffalo Bills to have to take care of business for you because that game may or may not mean anything for Buffalo in their quest to get number one seed and home field advantage in the AFC to where if it doesn't, they may not play their starters in that game, which then would increase New England's chances of winning that game.
But I do think it is going to mean something for Buffalo because they're right now tied with the Chiefs. They have to, you know, hold them off for that number one seed, which is so important. And the Chiefs have the Broncos who just fired their head coach. So that shows you how that's going. And then they play the Raiders in Week 18. So I think the Chiefs are going to win out, and it would behoove the Buffalo Bills, who know how important that is, that number one seed, to keep winning games. So if you're a Jet fan and you don't have faith right now that without Tua, the Dolphins can beat New England, you got to root for the Chiefs to win out because it's going to force Buffalo to play their starters in Week 18.
No doubt about that here. And look, I still think that there is a better than good scenario that happens. To where, look, Buffalo and Cincinnati next week, that's a tough game, right? I mean, Cincinnati's playing real well. I mean, they almost let that one escape them on Saturday in New England because they went to sleep there in the second half. But Buffalo going to Cincinnati is no joke.
Yeah, it's a tough game.
I still think, you know, is that a 50-50 game, right? I mean, at very least, it's a 50, maybe a slight edge to Buffalo, I think, right? In that game, is that the way you would lean?
It's just out of respect for where the Bills are in the standings, maybe. But I think right now Cincinnati's playing like the best team in the AFC. They got that win against the Chiefs. They've just been rolling, and Burrow's just, you know, lighting every secondary on fire right now. Whereas the Bills, like, they keep winning games, but I haven't come out of their wins feeling that impressed. They barely beat the Lions on Thanksgiving. We saw what happened against the Jets.
They were down in Chicago in the second half too on Saturday.
Yeah, they were down in Chicago 7-0 to start the game, and then down in that second half against the Bears. So I don't think they're playing at their apex right now. Whereas the Bengals, they've gotten hot, and I do think there is an element of, like, to start the year, it just was so funny that You know, it's going to come down to the Chiefs and the Bills. Like, that's going to be the hierarchy in the AFC. Meanwhile, Cincinnati's sitting there like, we just represented the AFC in the Super Bowl. And by the way, came from behind in Arrowhead to beat those Chiefs. So we should be in that conversation. And they're playing like it right now. So I just because of the Bills being the number one seed right now, I'll give them a slight edge. But I wouldn't be shocked at all if Cincinnati went in there. Not just beat them, you know, beat them pretty good.
And that's why the home field is going to be that important in the AFC, right? Because even though Cincinnati last year like went everywhere on the road and beat everybody, right, and went to the Super Bowl, Buffalo, they go to Kansas City, they lose that epic back-and-forth game in overtime to where you say, okay, if they had home field advantage, maybe they win the game and they go to the Super Bowl. I think out of the three places, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Kansas City, I still think Buffalo presents the most unique home field advantage to where that would be still the toughest place for anybody in January, late January, to go in and win a football game, right?
I would disagree. I think it's Arrowhead because I've seen the Chiefs.
Well, Cincinnati just did it last year, though. I would agree with you, but I saw it with my own eyes last year.
But it took Patrick Mahomes having the single worst half he's ever played in. Like, we had never seen Mahomes look that badly and all the interceptions he had thrown. And the game still went to overtime and they lost. So, whereas Buffalo, they just haven't proven anything to me in a big spot. Like, we keep anointing them as this team. Like, to start the year, they're the favorites to get to the Super Bowl. Can we actually have tangible evidence and results that would suggest that we know that in a big spot they're going to be able to get it done? And I get last
Kansas
year...
Kansas City's lost to Cincinnati now
three times in a row.
In this year, in the calendar year. So why not make it a fourth if it happens to be Cincinnati?
So I'll say this. I'll phrase it this way. I think Cincinnati can go into Arrowhead and win that game. I don't know that Buffalo can go to Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs. I have more confidence in the Bengals going down to Arrowhead and beating them doing it than I do the Bills. And I understand the Bills won the head-to-head matchup against the Chiefs this year. I believe that game was actually in Buffalo.
No, it was in Arrowhead. They already went to Arrowhead and beat them.
Yeah. But in the
playoffs, close game, good game, but close game.
Very good game, and Mahomes had that interception on the final drive. I trust Cincinnati more, just because, like you said, they've beaten them three straight times. And I know Buffalo's had some success against Kansas City, but just not in the playoffs, where it's a different animal. And I just trust Mahomes more than I trust Josh Allen. So I would go Chiefs, Bengals, and it's like right there, 1A, 1B, and then I have the Bills beneath both of those teams.
But don't you think Buffalo eventually, like here's the thing with Buffalo, like don't you think, like they've been building this thing up for the last few years, right? And you, like their time is going to come eventually to where they finally get back to that Super Bowl. Like remember, they were the chic pick before the season, like everybody and their mother, like they were the Super Bowl favorite at the beginning of the year. And I know that they've taken some lumps along the way. Hell, the Jets beat them, you know, down in MetLife Stadium. But I just, you know, and especially, I mean, you saw the stuff that's happening up in Western New York now where there's like 40 inches of snow. If you know, late January, not to say that they would even play the game, but if it's just like a brutal day, I mean, a lot of what Kansas City does and Mahomes and all those things, that to me would be neutralized if you're going to get a crummy day with the weather. And if it's just like bitter and windy and frigid, like... I just think Buffalo is built a little bit better for those type of conditions.
But maybe we're also understating the loss of Von Miller. That was their big prized acquisition this offseason, bringing in, you know, arguably the best pass rusher in football, and now he's out for the season. So could that, you know, tilt it in favor of Kansas City? Now, look, we're arguing, you know, Bills, Bengals, and Chiefs. They're all right there, you know, because they all have the one thing that every team is looking for, and that's that franchise quarterback who you could give the ball to down or tied at a minute left to go in the game and drive them down the field against an opposing defense. And we know the Chiefs, their defense is not stout. The Bengals and the Bills can definitely beat those two teams. I just think that because of what I've seen Mahomes do and because I saw Joe Burrow do it last year, I have to have them ahead of Buffalo. Not to say that Buffalo can't win, but I just think they're one notch below those two teams. They're all great, but they're one notch below those two teams.
So if let's just say, argument's sake, and you know, look, New England is struggling right now. We know that. I mean, they're a mess. They're not that good. I mean, I was not high on them all year. I thought it was the least talented team in the division. So what you're seeing really doesn't surprise me. But if the Dolphins can't go in there and win this week, you know, because let's just say for whatever reason, Teddy Bridgewater's a guy also. I remember he left in the first play of the game against the Jets.
The Jets, yep.
He's been another guy who can't stay on the field. let's say the Pats somehow find a way to win that game. You're still confident from a Jets need help perspective that Buffalo is going to play that game against the Patriots needing to win the game, and they'll find a way to win that game.
So I think it gets interesting with the timing of it, right? Because all these games could be moved around.
And it's in Buffalo, remember.
Yeah, so let's just say the Chiefs win this week. And then if their game next, let's say the Chiefs win this week and the Bills.
Chiefs will win. They're not losing to Denver.
So they'll beat Denver. Mm-hmm. And then let's just say the Bills lose to the Bengals, right? So now next week, the Chiefs enter that week ahead of the Bills in the standings, needing Buffalo, or Buffalo needs the Chiefs to lose. So it kind of depends on what time that game happens, right? Because let's just say the Chiefs, in my scenario, the Chiefs win this week, but Buffalo loses, and then next week the Chiefs win again. That means they clinched a one seed. Buffalo now has nothing to play for if that game is later than the Chiefs game. So this is where it gets all wacky with the timing of when these games happen. So best case scenario, we got to root for Buffalo to win this game.
Well, you got to root for the schedule makers too, if that's in the event. Like, if you want a safety net, because remember, Week 18, there's two games on Saturday. So what games would the NFL move to Saturday to make them standalone games to where it could potentially influence a scenario like you're just talking about? Because if Buffalo takes the field against the Patriots in Week 18, let's say already knowing their fate one way or the other, then that would force them to maybe not have to play their starters in that game.
Yeah, because there's a chance they take the field. Depending on when these games happen, there's a chance they take the field either locked into the number one seed, meaning, you know, the Chiefs slipped up, or they're locked into number two because they slipped up this week against Cincinnati and the Chiefs won those two games, assuming it happened before Buffalo had taken the field. So it's crazy. It's crazy, which is why
let's just
hope the Bengals lose to Buffalo this week. So that we
and
have
by
to
the way, like
that.
Most of the conversation is geared towards the Jets with the playoff stuff because they needed a lot of help. The Giants, let's also be real. The fact, all right, they didn't win this week, but they still got a tremendous amount of help also to where they're no worse for the wear because all the teams below them, Washington, Seattle, Detroit, they all lost this week. I mean, Green Bay won, but those other three immediately beneath them in the standings in the wild card race, they all suffered losses. So that's why if you're the Giants, beat the Colts on Sunday, you're going to the playoffs.
You have nothing to worry about. I've already looked past this game. The Colts are not a real football team. And if you're the Giants and you are a football team, this is a game you win. And it's just this simple. If you play the way you did this past week against Minnesota, you're going to wipe the floor at home with Indianapolis. And it's your first playoff berth, believe it or not, in 6 years. It's just the second time in the last 11 years. So the Giants haven't been winning. Here's an opportunity to do that. And as I mentioned to Steve Young, it's not just about making the playoffs now. If you get in and you draw a matchup with Minnesota, and like I'm not trying to disrespect the Vikings, but I'm just saying that this is a team that keeps winning late and the Giants just played them well. You can get into the playoffs, get matched up with Minnesota. Why not pick the Giants to beat them in the wild card round?
And what if they schedule that game for prime time? Kirk Cousins in prime time, even better chance.
He doesn't do it. I guess on Thanksgiving, he beat the Patriots. On Thanksgiving night. So that was his big primetime performance. But yeah, historically, he does not perform well in primetime.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And I believe this is this same little shindig's going to be happening tomorrow too, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we got a. This was like a tryout, and I believe like 10 minutes ago, the bosses texted in and said, "You sound so good. We got to bring you guys back tomorrow."
I don't know if you necessarily view it as that. Why would it be a tryout situation? That wouldn't
well,
be.
We'd never done this together before.
Yeah, but we know each other. I mean, we've been friends for how long? You know, like I mean, well, I was at your wedding for crying out loud. I gave you away at the altar.
You actually walked me down the aisle.
That's true. I did.
Allowed me to be given away to my wife.
Exactly. Somebody had to. I figured, you know, I say I know you long enough. Why not? If I can lend a helping hand in any way, I'll do that for
He's
you.
He's my friend.
You're my guy.
Who gives this groom the right to be married?
That's what happened. That's exactly what happened. That's it.
I appreciate you doing that.
He's a legitimately nice man.
I'm there for you. That's why. Let's say hi to Louis in Brooklyn. He is up next here on 98.7 ESPN. Louis, how are you?
Oh, well, I'm in the Bronx in my house now. I was actually driving from Brooklyn. I've been on hold for a while. I thought the producer might have got mad because me and him, we got into it. I thought he might have put me on don't answer this guy. I thought that's what I was.
He put you on the no-mind list, Lou. That's what happened. You're on the no-mind list.
That's what I thought I was. I said, let me just keep listening and keep listening, and hopefully guys will pick up. But basically what me and the producer was talking about, what I said was, and I hope you guys don't take it personal because I know you guys are Jets fans, but they kind of – they mishandled the whole Zach Wilson thing. Like me, the guy producer said, he shouldn't even been drafted number two. But if you were going to draft him, he should have not started in the first place. He only played 20 games with BYU. Who the hell does BYU even play? Like, you know what I'm saying? And when you talk about these other quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, these guys actually had to sit behind somebody. And then they learned for at least one season watching from the sidelines. They didn't allow Zach Wilson. But I'm not a Zach Wilson
Lewis.
Guy. I'm just observing. I'm a Giants fan, and I'm glad that everybody is now talking about they want Daniel Jones on their team. Because I mean, last year the Giants didn't even want him. But you know, now everybody wants him. So that means Brian Daboll did a good job, and it's a successful season for my guys. If they make the playoffs, beautiful. If they don't, listen, I'm not going to be mad. I know a lot of people might say it was a failure. You know, I'm not going to be upset, me personally. But, you know, I think everything is good. And as far as the the Giants is going, as far as everything, like, I don't even know what to even say now. I've been on hold for so long. I don't even know what to even say at this point right now. But
Can I just defend the Jets real quick, Lewis? You can't compare what they did to what happened with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. The Chiefs were a perennial playoff team with Alex Smith, and they had the luxury, because of the bright minds of Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, they had the luxury to sit Mahomes, and he only played that Week 17 game. The Jets didn't have a quarterback. They didn't have a quarterback. They didn't have someone to sit behind, you know, Zach Wilson.
Was it Mike White there? Was it Mike White there?
Mike White was
Mike
not there.
White was there, but nobody knew what Mike White was.
I mean, but my thing is this. If Mike White is good enough to play over Zach Wilson now, why isn't he better to play over him when they picked Zach Wilson? See, that's what I say. He shouldn't even pick number two, because the whole thing of him being picked number two made everybody say, oh, he's got to start. But really, he should not have started. He played for BYU for 20 games or maybe even less than that. He didn't even win the championship or nothing. You understand what I'm saying?
No,
so what did he really
experience
in college to make you say that he's ready to start in the NFL? That's my whole question.
Lou, here's
why
the
did
thing,
they do
though.
That to him?
Lou, you're absolutely right about that, and I thank you for the phone call. Here's the problem, though. He was taken number two, okay? And when you have a number two overall pick with a first-year head coach, which Robert Saleh was last year, with a rebuilding team, which, let's face it, was not expected or put together to be a playoff contender last year. They were all getting their feet wet in the process. The conventional thinking nowadays in the NFL, like you saw last year in Jacksonville, where Trevor Lawrence was the number one overall pick, and he had a first-year head coach in Urban Meyer, and that was a disaster. You start the quarterback right away. And you gain that experience, right? Because the conventional wisdom is the guy is going to develop and get better the more he plays. Steve Young said it. How do you work through those ruts? It's game experience. You have to work through the problems. It works for some. it doesn't work for others. Obviously, for Zach Wilson, it didn't work out. But, Ty, here's the other thing. We have no way of knowing that if he sat, this would be any different whenever he got a shot to play.
Yeah, when I hear, you know, he can't handle the booze, it's just screaming to me that this is a larger issue that would not have been corrected by him just sitting behind a quarterback. Would that have been ideal? Obviously, that's the ideal situation. Have someone there he can sit behind and learn for a season. But I just don't know what would have fixed it. What's actually fascinating to me, and more fascinating than that, and I actually wish I had asked Robert Saleh this, if Mike White is the guy now, like, what changed from where week one he wasn't starting and Joe Flacco was? Like, if the Jets had started the year with Mike White, would they be in a better situation right now? Why was he not starting? Was Joe Flacco?
Because Mike White didn't have a good camp.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm being serious. He didn't have a great camp.
No, I get that. I remember that being the story, but are we really going to sit here and, you know, let preseason dictate that? It's just... I thought he should have started the season. I never understood.
Well, no, because what happened? Remember, this team they upgraded the talent from last year to this year. Two different scenarios. They thought they were good enough to compete this year. Mike didn't have the greatest of camps. Joe was pretty good. They figured while Zach is down, and they didn't know how long it was going to be, whether it was going to be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, Joe gives them the better chance to win football games. He won one out of three. Okay, how many would they have won with Mike? Would Mike have played well? Don't know. Because at the time, there weren't that many people that were pounding the table for Mike White because he had not looked that good in the summer. That's the only – look, it's hindsight, right? It's 2020 hindsight. But I think it goes without saying, though, that if he would have played in some of these games later in the season, like the last two we saw, those Patriot games, we might be talking to a team that's already in a lot better shape as far as a playoff push than the one that we're looking at now.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.